We are an intentionally inclusive congregation, and we welcome everyone to our church. We want to especially welcome those of you who are guests with us today, and to let you know that there's a visitor's table, a welcome table in the foyer right outside these doors that you may visit after the services. Please join me in saying together our mission statement, printed in your order of service and also on the wall. We gather in community to nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice. O God, you have called us to peace, for you are peace itself. May we realize the vision to see that each of us, in some measure, can help to realize these aims. Where there is ignorance and superstition, let there be enlightenment and knowledge. Where there is prejudice and hatred, let there be acceptance and love. Where there is fear and suspicion, let there be confidence and trust. Where there is tyranny and oppression, let there be freedom and justice. Where there is poverty and disease, let there be prosperity and health. Where there is strife and discord, let there be harmony and peace.
In this month of December, I wish to share with you some of the gifts of some great religious traditions of our world history and culture, the gifts of Judaism, the gifts of Christianity, and the gifts of earth-centered spirituality. And today, on the first Sunday of that sequence, I wish to speak about the gifts of Judaism. There are extraordinarily deep inner connections between the life of our faith community and the Jewish faith and tradition. Indeed, it would take days to elaborate and to follow those linkages of interconnections. I will focus on just four gifts of Judaism which affect our congregation deeply, but our culture as well. Let us be mindful that we tend to be unaware of the power of the past and of the presence of the past in the now. We tend to forget and be blissfully unaware of how the traditions of ancient history impinge on our daily lives. But the reality of the presence of the past was brought home to me when I went to China twice, as some of you know, for the purpose of adopting our wonderful daughters from China. And there I had the opportunity to mix and mingle with people from China of all ranks of life and to see how the traditions of that culture, based in Taoism, based in Confucius, based in Buddhism, based in other Eastern religions, affected their daily lives, their cultural and social institutions, their laws or lack thereof, their sense of the value of the individual, their awareness of the value of what we call the free press, and so many, many other things, the very details of democracy that we assume as true and valid for all aren't as valid for those who are grounded in other traditions than the ones that lie at our deepest roots. It is important to remember also that Judaism did not create its faith and its beliefs out of nothing, that it borrowed and mixed and mingled from an assortment of cultures which affected it. But nonetheless, it created a unique version, a diverse version of life, and thereby created great gifts which each of us individually and collectively enjoy. The first great gift of Judaism, I believe, is the story of the covenant. This story holds that the Jewish people are called out of all the peoples on the earth to be in a unique relationship with the Creator of the universe. And this covenant makes binding upon them certain things, as well as giving it them a special destiny and a special role. It requires this covenant living in harmony with moral and spiritual laws. This ancient story and understanding of life, the covenantal understanding of life, reflects the human condition and is as relevant today as it was 3,000, 4,000, 2,000 years ago. We human beings are called out of nature to live with ourselves and to live with one another in a way that transcends nature, that is rooted in principles and moral values, that gives honor and dignity and purpose to our lives that nature in itself cannot give to us, and gives to our life together and with one another a dignity and a purpose and a quality that nature herself does not obviously give to us in abundance. We Unitarian Universalists are deeply influenced by this story of the covenant. We have seven principles as a religious movement. This congregation specifically has a covenant of healthy relations, a statement of values, and a mission statement. These are our attempts to define a way of living with one another that sets us apart from the world, so that when we walk into this space, which we call the church, it is a place where we are called to practice being with one another in ways that are not encouraged in the outer world. We are called as a people beyond racism, sexism, nationalism, militarism, discrimination based on sexual orientation, and every other human difference, to be one with one another in a dedication to a principle-centered life. This way of being, this way of understanding life, owes much to the covenantal life created in Judaism. A second gift of Judaism is the prophetic tradition. The prophetic tradition is the right, indeed the responsibility and necessity, to critique power, whether that be religious or political or social or financial. And in the Jewish tradition, the prophet is always calling the people back into the covenant. The audacity of this authority to speak truth to power can hardly be overestimated. And we get a taste of the voice of the prophet in, for example, the book of Amos, who writes, "Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when the new moon is over, we may sell our grain, and the Sabbath be ended, we may then market our wheat. Skipping on the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord Himself has sworn by Himself, the pride of Jacob, quote, I will never forget anything they have done." And earlier in the book of Amos, we find a contempt for the ostensible religious habits of people and the affirmation to let justice roll on like a river and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This part of the Jewish tradition has deeply affected our religious movement. Indeed, there were periods of time during the 1960s and 1970s when the Unitarian Universalist movement was a prophetic movement, almost purely, critiquing power, speaking truth to justice, standing against racism, standing against wars that were unnecessary. One of the early and great preachers of the Unitarian movement was the Reverend Theodore Parker. His ministry was profoundly and radically prophetic. So important is the prophetic tradition for our religious movement that in our statement of principles and purposes, we read that among the sources of our inspiration are, I quote, words and deeds of prophetic women and men which challenge us to confront powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. The prophetic tradition has also deeply affected the American religious life periodically. Not all the time, but periodically. The ministry of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was almost totally a prophetic ministry, rooted in the great prophets of the Hebrew Scriptures. And the great Jewish theologian Abraham Heschel marched alongside the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma, Alabama, in 1965 to protest racism. And Rabbi Heschel, on many occasions, stated that he believed King was a modern embodiment of the prophetic tradition of old. A third gift of Judaism is the conferring of a direct and unmediated relationship of the individual to the creator of the universe. Now, many of us know that there is ambiguity surrounding the word God or goddess or what is ultimate. But in your mind, I encourage you to understand the word God as a metaphor for what is ultimate in life. Having said that, this belief of Judaism that the individual had an absolute, unspoiled, untampered with direct relationship to the creator of the universe enabled the individual to rise above the swarming mass of humanity and to transcend their social and economic limitations and to attain a relationship with that which is ultimate in the world. The significance and power of this belief is impossible to overestimate, for it gives every human being a special dignity in that they, as an individual, regardless of their status in life, has a relationship to the all-powerful, to that which is the creative force in life. The influence of this aspect of the Jewish tradition is found in our statement of sources of inspiration as well, when it states, we affirm the inspiration of the direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder, affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. A fourth gift of Judaism is the affirmation of personal responsibility. In Judaism, there was the teaching developed to a very high level that the individual is responsible for the management of the potential for good and evil which each person has. Each person is responsible for directing their life in such a way to maximize that which is positive and constructive and minimizing that which is destructive. The Jewish writer Viktor Frankl, a psychiatrist and great thinker of the 20th century, wrote this about this aspect of Judaism. We need to stop asking about the meaning of life and instead to think of ourselves as those who are being questioned by life, daily and hourly. Our answer must consist not in talk and meditation, but in right action and in right conduct. Life ultimately means taking the responsibility to find the right answer to life's problems and to fulfill the task which life constantly sets before each individual. He goes on to say, a person who becomes conscious of the responsibility he or she bears toward another human being who affectionately waits for him or her, or toward some unfinished work which beckons their creativity, will never be able to throw away their life or to devalue their life. He or she who knows the why for his existence will be able to bear almost any how. This spoken by a man who lived through the Holocaust. This gift has also deeply affected Unitarian Universalism, because much more than other faith groups, the responsibility is placed on us as persons to make life meaningful, to make life the best it can be, to create, as far as our powers enable us, a Eden on earth. We are responsible. I'd like to end my remarks on a personal note. For Judaism has crossed my path in life personally. Three people from the Jewish tradition affected me fairly powerfully at different points in my life. The first was Rabbi Friedman, who helped me understand the connections between systems thinking in congregations, who was the very first person decades ago who first gave me a glimmer of hope that one day I might understand what is really going on in congregations. For that, I am eternally grateful, Rabbi Friedman, wherever you are. And he helped me understand the connection to resolve the rift between biology and science and theology and belief systems on the other hand. The second person from the Jewish faith who deeply affected me was Marshall Rosenberg, who, still alive, helped me see the way fundamental human needs, even the needs for spiritual aspiration and realization, are always present without exception, operating in human relationships. And the third is Joseph Goldstein, who helped me understand the vitality and the significance of Eastern thought, particularly in the form of Buddhism. Now, all of these persons were very different. Rabbi Friedman was a rabbi who was too much of a misfit to stay in a congregation for long, became a psychotherapist, and then had studied history in college and kind of combined all these things and helped clergy understand faith groups and congregations. But he was rooted in the Jewish faith. Marshall Rosenberg disliked conventional religion altogether, had no feeling of sentimentality towards Judaism in anything he said or did. But he had an intense dedication to his work and mission. And never in my life have I experienced someone who seemed to be so much on fire with the belief that life right now, as it unfolds, is sacred. Joseph Goldstein was a Jewish person, and yet he became, along with a number of other Jewish persons, pioneers in the development of the Buddhist tradition in America. But there is an intensity and devotion about him that is deeply religious, transcending any particular faith. Now, all these persons were very different, as I mentioned before. They were also remarkable. They were pioneers. And I remember so clearly about them that they didn't mind the fact that other people might think them unconventional. They didn't mind the fact that other people would reject them. They had a vision that would enrich others, and they maintained it faithfully. That was a powerful thing to experience. By their courage, by their audacity, they made great and unique contributions to society. And I think, I can't help but believe, they represent at some deep level the vitality, the generous and pioneer spirit and courage of the Jewish tradition. Finally, I would like to stress our interconnections. We are so much as a group tending to see ourselves as unique and different and separate, but we are not. What we do here, what we say here, what we try to be here is deeply rooted in other religious traditions, which we have in our own special way transformed and made our own, but nevertheless, it is present. It is good to be aware of our interdependence. I close my remarks with a statement from the much-beloved Rabbi Abraham Heschel, who expressed his faith as follows. There is no human being who does not carry a treasure in his or her soul. A moment of insight, even if fleeting. A memory of love. An experience of precious compassion. A dream of excellence. A call to reverence. A desire to serve. Just to be is a blessing. Just to live is holy. Amen. May we go forth in awareness of what is true, with a heart filled with compassion, guided by the sight of visions of hope, holding fast to the love that has no beginning or end, in all the light and dark hours of our living, trusting where life takes us, until we gather here again in this house of worship, in this refuge of peace. Amen.
This is a presentation of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, visit our website at www.austinuu.org.